You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
The Industrial Development Corporation released its own sets of financial results for the financial year ended March 2026. Development Finance Institute saw a significant loss of 4.6 billion rand for this particular financial year. This is a big swing from the 329 million rand profit that they saw in the previous year and almost 7.5 billion rand profit of 2024. We're going to be taking a look at this year's performance in greater detail with the IDC's Chief Financial Officer, Isaac Malevo, who joins me on the line now to see what we make of their performance. Isaac, lovely having you on the show as always. Thanks so much for taking the time. A difficult set of numbers to report on, I suppose, if we look at it in isolation, but that is not what we're going to be doing. The year being obviously the sum of moving parts. Your initial thoughts around how it is that the year played out for the IDC?
Your listeners, indeed, it's always a pleasure catching up with you. Yes, we did release our annual results. And perhaps let me start off just by saying that at a company level, and that is the IDC company, we reported a profit of 2.3 billion, which is about 27% up compared to the prior year. And of course, as you have alluded, when you move to group, we now have to take into account our key subsidiaries, such as Fosco, and also look at our associate companies, such as Mozal. Both of these two entities, Fosco and Mozal, Fosco reported a loss of 2.8 billion. Mozal, the share of our loss after Mozal was put on care and maintenance, they incurred a significant impairment, and they reported a loss of over 10 billion. And our share of that is about 2.6 billion. So if you add the two, it does show you how it contributes significantly from moving to from a profit of 2.3 to a loss of 4.7. Having said that, the Fosco challenges, Fosco is important to the country and the ITC. They produce fertilizer products, but to do that, they need ammonia and phosphoric acid. And because their inputs are largely imported, they were severely affected in the latter part of the year by the geopolitical tensions. They had some of their input stuck in the Strait of Hormuz. That's the first thing. The second thing, their production was affected internally by the flooding that happened in the beginning of the year. And also they had a fatality, and they had to suspend their operations for more than 5 weeks, which then affected their production. And all of these factors contributed to their operating losses. And that's why they find themselves where they are. We are supporting them, and we're looking at the turnaround to see how we can further support them. The second part on the Mozal, as you know, is currently on care and maintenance. South Delhi is looking at potential strategic partners to either take the asset. As IDC, we have a preemptive right. So we are also exploring our options, whether to exercise the preemptive right and to see whether we can resuscitate that asset. And that's because, again, it's largely on the back of energy prices. And to the extent that we can resolve that, we think that asset can be brought back to life.
Isaac, take us through the IDC's investment strategy and investment thesis. You touched on the fact that an asset like Fosco is a critical asset in the agricultural landscape. We know that other assets, the likes of the IDC's investment or conversations with ArcelorMittal South Africa, represent a critical conversation in the steel sector. How does the IDC balance between what is an economic objective and a national objective versus a profitable and worthwhile investment? Because surely that balancing act is potentially the most difficult for the business.
No, absolutely. So we have to play a role that supports our mandate. And our mandate is that of supporting the industrialization of the country, which is developmental. But in doing so, we have to be financially sustainable as an organization. We tend to take an approach of not just investing in a particular transaction. We look at the value chain. And that's what's really been our approach. So let's take the steel sector as an example. And you did mention AMSA being one of those companies affected in the steel industry. Our approach is that to the extent that the closure or any disruption in either arms or any of the steel companies has an effect of impacting on the downstream, which is the car manufacturing subsector, because those are the ones who depend on the likes of AMSA, the likes of SCOR, or any of these steel companies. So we then take a view that we have to make sure that the entire ecosystem, the value chain, is not affected, and to what extent is important and strategic to the country. So in our view, the steel sector remains critical to South Africa. And because of that, we have to support the steel sector. And it's critical because we know there is Eskom grid expansion that's happening, that's going to happen. There's other infrastructure projects to the tune of $3 trillion that will be happening. And those infrastructure projects will need steel. And to the extent that as a country, we believe we cannot be vulnerable to the global market forces when it comes to steel. And someone might argue there is an oversupply of steel, but we also recognize that as a country, we need to be certain that we can localize the manufacturing and the production of the key of the steel as we need it for our infrastructure projects.
Isaac, speaking of that localization, how does the IDC then see its role potentially continuing to unfold or transitioning if we look at the South African story in particular? You touched on the National Transmission Company of South Africa and the role that the IDC looks to play in those efforts. But we also know that from an industrialization perspective, from an economic growth perspective, South Africa should be doing a lot better than what it is now, and I can imagine that the lack of economic growth then starts to put different pressures on the IDC as a business, and surely the IDC cannot carry all of the projects by itself. Yeah. How then do you as an organization start to balance the mandate that you so clearly mentioned being given by the shareholder and what it is that makes practical sense from a day-to-day operations perspective?
Absolutely, it's a good question. We have submitted to our shareholder representative, Minister Honorable Minister Pakstau. There's also submission made to the National Treasury. And we are exploring some form of instrument that will support our developmental mandate, whether it's in a form of a recapitalization or a form of some guarantee, which can be explicit, or some form of support that talks to recognition that we have to be financially sustainable as an organization whilst fulfilling our mandate. And having said that, there is also an exploration of whether we can get things like a tax exemption status, which also assists us in terms of using some of that capital to support the mandate of the IDC. And that's, these are all the propositions that are before our shareholder and are being considered very carefully. So we believe that that will certainly assist us to play our development mandate whilst becoming financially sustainable. And of course, we do have a good book, and I must emphasize that. We're still on board very good clients who are performing. So that also helps to cushion some of the credit losses we see when it comes to this investment that support developmental objectives.
Isaac, let's wrap up the conversation by looking at that book, because the IDC has in the past and will, I suppose, continue to in future, invested beyond the borders of South Africa. That means you've exposed the organization to global factors, whether willingly or unwillingly. So how does the IDC look at its local portfolio versus its international portfolio?
Yeah, no, thank you. So currently we are sitting around 15% of our portfolio is outside South Africa. We did get the mandate to increase that exposure to about 30%. On the back of supporting the Africa Continental Free Trade, which then talks to also our ambition to support the regions around South Africa, but also recognizing that there are South African companies who are investing outside South Africa. And when we're doing that, working alongside with the DFIs, the continental DFIs such as AFDB, AfriExim, and DBSA, just to make sure that we are able to collaborate in a way that has maximum impact. But we're not going to do that without being cognizant of the credit risk. So we also are mindful of the countries we're investing in. So we look at the country risk, and to the extent that is within our risk appetite, we'll certainly invest in those countries. So we are very much optimistic about the development that needs to happen outside South Africa, mainly in the continent.
Optimistic about the African continent, a continent that the IDC has been a part of since 1940. We'll have to leave the conversation on that particular note. Chief Financial Officer of the Industrial Development Corporation of South Africa, Isaac Malevu, joining us to take a look at the performance of the IDC over the last financial year and how it is that they're looking at their portfolio in the new year.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.